Rock of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Will Reeve. The Supreme Court is hearing arguments on the Biden administration's student debt relief program. Missouri is among the GOP-led states suing to block the plan to forgive up to $20,000 in federal student loans. The plaintiffs claim the forgiveness plan will mean less money for its loan authority programs. ABC's Devin Dwyer.
If the Supreme Court sides with Missouri and says that those sort of far-removed injuries are still sufficient, it could lower the bar for other states to challenge the federal government. And that's something that the Solicitor General has said could open the floodgates in a way to more state challenges to Biden administration policies, really any presidential policy, simply because they don't like it or disagree with it.
Consumer confidence dipped for a second straight month. It's a leading signal for the Fed as it weighs another rate hike to help tame inflation. Residents in Northern California are bracing for another round of snow. And in Michigan, tens of thousands are still without power after last week's ice storm. Storms across the country have led to more than 500 flight cancellations today. This is ABC News. It's election day in Chicago, and a number of candidates are trying to take the job away from the city's boss.
Last spring, Chicago's first black openly gay woman mayor addressed violence in her city.
I'm urging these young people to put the guns down.
Like a lot of other big cities, crime is the top issue for voters in Chicago. Lori Lightfoot is running against eight other candidates in Tuesday's nonpartisan election, including her closest rivals, former Chicago schools chief Paul Vallis, Congressman Jesus Chuy Garcia, and Cook County Commissioner Brandon Johnson. No candidate is expected to get more than 50% of the vote, so an April runoff is likely. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
On Capitol Hill, a hearing tonight with the newly formed House Select Committee focused on China. An eye mask may be the key to a good night's sleep. Researchers say wearing an eye mask to bed can improve memory, alertness, and cognitive function the next day. And studies show that one factor of disrupted sleep is ambient light. Researchers say an eye mask can help keep out that ambient light, which can harm sleep patterns. Will Reeve, ABC News.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
If Friday nights mean fish fries, we're your station. Civic Media for the Fox River Valley.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. There's a bill in the Wisconsin legislature for 5-year mandatory minimum sentences for felons caught with having guns illegally. Felons aren't supposed to have guns in Wisconsin, but many still do. The bill gets its first hearing today before the Assembly Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety. Governor Evers would move bar time in much of southeast Wisconsin back to 4 in the morning during the Republican National Convention next year. And not just for Milwaukee, but for 14 counties, from Madison to Sheboygan to Beloit to Fond du Lac. The RNC will be in Milwaukee from July 15th through the 18th next year. In sports, the Bucks hope to make it 15 wins in a row tonight at Brooklyn. Marquette plays at Butler. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Welcome to the 1 o'clock no sour haha funny hour. We are back on the no sour haha funny power hour. What is it, Greg?
The no sour fun time haha power hour. Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Welcome to the 1 o'clock no sour ha-ha hee fun time.
That's hilarious.
We're going to have a lot of fun hour. Kristen is off. Jane Matmier and Carol Kane filling in. We are with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. How you doing, my friend?
I'm great. How about you?
I am doing great. Last hour, so excited to have our next guest join us, and I really appreciate. I emailed her really late yesterday and said, we'd love to have you on, and she made it happen for us. So welcome, welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, longtime dining critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Carol Deptola. Carol, thanks for making time for us today. How are you?
Hi, Carol.
Hi, I'm great. Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
Well, I imagine things have been just crazy for you since you announced that you are retiring.
Yeah, you know, it's really been astonishing, like really touching emails and posts from readers and restaurant folks. So it's really been something. It's been very touching, very emotional.
You know, well, in all honesty, Carol, it's a very personal thing because before I go out and spend my hard-earned money, I want to see what somebody has to say about some of the stuff. I've been a religious reader of yours for 15 years, and if you say it's a good spot, I'll go and spend my cash there. But if you say that there are some, you know, some foibles, I'm not quite so certain I want to go. So it's very personal to people what you did.
Yeah, you know, there really is the consumer aspect of it, too. And I think, and, you know, you're both very familiar with this, but, you know, especially when you spend a long time doing something, you really sort of develop a special relationship, I think, with, you know, be it listeners or readers. People do come to trust you and know your voice, either your voice as in your spoken voice or your writing style. So it is pretty personal. And of course, you know, taste is very personal, and it's not necessarily, you know, what I like may not be everybody's jam, but I think you come to understand, oh, you know, this is where I agree with her, and, you know, and I'll look to her for those sorts of things.
Did you always want to be a restaurant critic, Carol?
Well, I always wanted to write about food, because it just seems to me a really great way to know a lot about people. And I think part of that is because I grew up in an immigrant family. My parents were from Germany. And you notice pretty early on that, like, the food on your dinner table isn't the same as the food on the dinner table of your friends' houses when you go over after school. So I think that kind of opened my eyes to food being a a window to people and to understanding them and kind of getting what they're about. So more than how it tastes or anything, I've always just been really, really interested in food as an expression of who someone is, you know, whether it's their heritage or just how they think about food. I think it's, to me, it's really fascinating.
Okay, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Was there, what restaurant, it's probably like between picking your, you know, your favorite kid, but what restaurant over these past 15 years surprised you and also, I guess, surprised you? And you really enjoyed maybe going in not thinking exactly that it was going to be any good?
You know, it's not that I didn't think it was going to be any good, but I'll tell you, one of my favorite things to do is go to a restaurant that's in a strip mall because, you know, it doesn't look like anything necessarily fancy. It's not like walking into some temple of fine dining, you know, where they've sunk a bunch of money into how the place looks. But, you know, at that, you know, I'm just willing to be open and see what there is to find. And one place like that surprised me as to what I found there was a place called Mr. Wok, which unfortunately closed last year in a strip mall in Waukesha. And it sounds like it's going to be like sort of, you know, fast order Chinese American. And they did have those Chinese American dishes. They also had other Chinese dishes, but they also had Malaysian dishes because one of the owners was from Malaysia. And it's nothing that you would have expected, but it was really good. And for the longest time, it was the only place where you could get Malaysian food. And so I think that sort of, you know, walking into a place with an open mind and just thinking, I don't know what's going to happen here, but maybe it'll be something cool. And, you know, half the time it really will be, maybe more, probably more. But that was one thing that really delighted me. Was being able to try that Malaysian menu at a little place called Mr. Wok in a strip mall in Waukesha.
If you're just joining us, Carol Diptola is our guest, a longtime dining critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who just announced that she is going to be retiring after 15 years. Carol, you and my friend Carol Kane, I'm assuming, are both really brave eaters, because I am not. Is there anything that you're like, nope, not doing that, you couldn't pay me to eat that?
No, I will try absolutely anything. The only thing, when I was growing up, I didn't like celery. I have no idea why. I think with most people, the reason they don't like food is it's a texture thing. And I don't know, I think the strings annoyed me or something. But even, I eat celery now too. I really don't like truffle oil, and it is like overused in restaurants. It's usually an artificially flavored truffle oil, and I'm not a big fan of that. I'll usually, like, you know, I'll order that if I have to, because for my job I have to. But I'm, you know, I'm not a fan of that. Otherwise, you know, bring it on. I will try anything, really.
You know,
I always feel like, you know, if you don't like it, you can always, like, discreetly spit it out. But you never know what your next favorite food is going to be unless you try something new, I think. So, you know, I'm always willing to.
The fad thing. I mean, we always see a new fad coming down the pike when it comes to food. What's on the precipice right now? What are we looking forward to going to be the new fad?
I don't know. But you know what I just noticed is there have been a few restaurants that have chips and dip as an appetizer on the menu. I'm like, well, that's kind of fun. That feels like a party. So I don't know. I mean, you know, two is a coincidence, but three will be a trend. So I'll see if the third one does it, and then we'll know. But yeah, maybe it is because, you know what, we just had a few really awful years that did not feel like a party at all.
Right.
So let's have something kind of fun on the menu, shall we? And now we're not too wigged out to be like sharing things again at restaurants. But for a while there, it was like, ooh, our share plate's gone forever. Is like the shareable appetizer a thing of the past? No, that's come back. So, yeah, I mean, I think those sort of like shareable format things, that's something that's here to stay. And that was one of those things that sort of emerged while I was dining critic.
One trend, Carol, that I would like to see disappear is the constant efforts to reinvent a classic. Like, don't infuse my grilled cheese with lavender and some rare escargot pieces. Can we just, you know, I understand the challenge that chefs have to be new and exciting, but gosh, just can't you leave a good thing alone?
Right. Right. People do want to set themselves apart. And sometimes those are, you know, some innovations and flavor combinations that you don't expect do turn out to be good. But I know what you mean. But, you know, on the upside, there still are lots of places that will make a really good grilled cheese sandwich. Oh, boy, I just had a good one. When I was writing about soups recently, I went to a new place on the southwest side at like 92nd in Oklahoma. And not only does the chef and owner, a little takeout place, it's very humble, make fantastic soup from scratch. You know, there's no like fake chicken, anything in there. But she also makes her own sourdough bread and makes an absolutely killer grilled cheese sandwich. So get yourself to good soup if that's what you want.
Good that soup, would, good soup on 92nd in Oklahoma?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. In your opinion, and I'm kind of a foodie. I'm with you. The only thing that I absolutely will not eat is oatmeal. Everything else is on the is. So what I won't eat is a very, very short list. So what is one that you would say to me, Carol? And I trust me, I like a joint. I'm not adverse to fine dining, but I just have a problem paying $75 for a steak. So where would you focus me to go? If I just wanted to go and just enjoy a fun kind of a joint, kind of, you know, have a beer and whatever.
Oh, you know, there are a lot of them. But actually, if you also would like a steak that's at a joint that's not going to cost you $75, there's this awesome little place in West Dallas called Henry Flock. It's on, 90th and National. Am I getting that right? 92nd and National. But they bought it from, do you remember the old, like, clock, the Butch's Steakhouse downtown?
Oh, sure.
It previously, he had a little place there. It's a tavern in West Dallas, you know, the traditional setup, you can tell, old building, old bar on the one side, down a step or whatever, or the next room over is the dining room. They bought that, the new owners bought that from Butch, and they kept his cast iron pans. He makes the steak in a cast iron pan. And their thing is, we want to be a blue-collar steakhouse. We want to be a place where you don't have to get dressed up to have a steak. You can come as you are, you can relax, have a beer, you don't have to order a fancy wine with your steak, but they do have wine if you want it, and, you know, and just have a nice steak. Their filet is excellent, and it's a fraction of what you would pay at a high-end steakhouse.
Okay. Carol Lintola, you know, has been the longtime restaurant critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, retiring after 15 years. I'm sorry, Carol, we have run out of time. It's been a delight, and all good things to you in the future. I hope to see you out at some nice joint one of these nights.
Happy retirement. Yeah. Happy
I'll
retirement.
Thanks so much. Take care. Bye.
This is Asgo, Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Direct from the dairy stand.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Earl Ingram.
Mandela Barnes.
Yeah, the stories that I talked about, stories I share, my own personal experience was not much different from the experience from a lot of other people across the state. People generally want to be able to, you know, exist together in harmony.
Working hard every day to inform, enlighten, and bring our community together.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Carol Kane, Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. She will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. and I hope you will be as well. Carol, when you and I were talking last night about what we wanted to do today, we started talking about kindness.
Yes, it's a big thing for me this year.
I think that's wonderful. I put it in some perspective.
I don't usually make New Year's resolutions just because I think you're setting yourself up for just colossal failure. You know, and I'm not one of these. I'm going to start eating better. I'm going to start drinking less. I'm going to work out more because I know it's not going to happen. I realize that.
You're a realist like I am.
Yeah. Yes. But I did say to Lou, who's my husband, I said, you know, I'm pledging in this next new year, in 2023, I'm going to try and be a better person. I don't think I'm a schlep right now.
You're not a bad person.
No, I'm not a bad person, but there's always room for improvement as far as I can see. And I've had a couple of instances where I was like, it took everything, every fiber of my being, not to confront and not to say something. And it happened at my local grocery store where I had a guy that actually, do you ever see the movie Christmas with the Cranks?
Yes.
Okay. You know that grocery store scene where they're running for the ham? Jamie Lee Curtis and this other woman are going neck and neck. This guy was doing this to me and I was just trying to get to the checkout.
And he's racing you to the
checkout.
And
he's racing me to the checkout. He was going to get there first no matter what. And I was just like, what? What's happening here? This is so ridiculous. And so I pulled into the area next to him and there I turned and looked and here's a guy standing there with two cartons of lactaid milk. And I said, is that all you have? And he said, yeah. I said, then please go ahead.
Yeah. Because you had a full cart.
I had a full cart. And he's like, are you sure? And seriously, it was something, another light bulb went off. This just happened. So it was like, okay, you really got to be better, a better person, Carol, because you would have thought that this guy, I had saved his child from a burning building or something. He said at least six times, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I hope you have a wonderful day. And I said to him, I said, you know, if we don't start being kinder to one another as a whole, nothing is ever going to get any better.
You're absolutely right.
Nothing. And it's so, Jane, I met this lovely woman. I've got goosebumps just thinking about it because I just think I feel so strongly about this, that I met a woman the other day, and she was out walking her dog. And I just stopped and said, hello, good morning. And she introduced herself as Amy and her dog Stone. And we stood there and we talked and talked and talked and talked. My girlfriend Mary was also there. And I walked away and she was like, gosh, it was nice to meet you guys.
Aww.
And I walked away and I said, you know, isn't it nice that that's a good memory for her today? She'll go home and go, you know, I met some nice people. And it's not, that's the thing that I think is so interesting, that we are not curing cancer by doing this, but we are making people smile. And if you can put a smile on somebody's face, isn't that worth the price of admission? Don't you feel better?
Absolutely. And I'm a big holding the door open for anybody.
Me too.
I just like that. And it makes me feel better. And I don't care if I see you coming from halfway across the parking lot, I'll wait for you. I do it for our UPS guy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really little courtesy.
It's nothing.
It's a nothing.
Yeah.
But yet it makes a difference. On the flip side, however, I am also the same person who, if I hold the door open for someone, especially if it's a younger person, and they don't say thank you.
Oh, do you say you're welcome?
Of course.
Okay.
Because I'm that person.
Well, but I don't think there's anything. I don't think there's anything wrong with that either. I mean, because there's a way that you can make people learn that they have to say thank you. And this guy with the milk, it was just so, I was so taken aback. And I've done this because I'm tall, and like I've been in the grocery store and like you see some woman struggling or some guy struggling,
yes,
as they're trying to reach something on the top. And I will inevitably always go, hey, can I get that for you? Because for me, it's nothing. It's so easy to do. And sometimes I run into opposition, but most times I don't. I had one woman that said, I can do this. And I said, okay. And she's like climbing the shelves. So I'm like, but don't you realize your personal safety's at stake here?
You don't have to scale Mount Everest. I can reach it for
you.
No,
I just think that every day, I have two goals for this year. One, every day I want to learn something new. Every day. And my day today was with Carol. She just told me about that great restaurant. So I learned something and I'm going to go and check that place out. And two, do something nice for someone, even if it's as little as saying good morning, good afternoon, hello.
Nice outfit, nice shoes.
Anything. Anything.
Yeah. Small, tiny compliment. Just looking somebody in the eyes and smiling, like you said, and saying good morning. It's these incremental steps.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, sooner or later, you've laid the foundation, and now it's just one brick on top of another brick on top of another brick. And if they've had a good day, if you've helped them have a good day, then the likelihood of them doing something nice for somebody else is probably pretty strong, I would hope.
I think you're onto something there.
I hope so.
I think she's onto something there.
I'm going to try and be a better person every single day of this year. I'll get back to you on the 31st of December.
We'll do a count. We'll do a recount at that time. All right. We have the bottom of the hour news coming up. When we come back, the five greatest rock and roll bands of all time. Let us know who you would select at 844-967-2789. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin.
Love this life gives you. When you get where you're going, don't forget, turn back around. Help the next one in line. Always stay humble and kind.
The Shaw.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained, this is Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Will Reeve. The Supreme Court is hearing arguments on the Biden administration's student debt relief program. Missouri is among the GOP-led states suing to block the plan to forgive up to $20,000 in federal student loans. The plaintiffs claim the forgiveness plan will mean less money for its loan authority programs. ABC's Devin Dwyer.
If the Supreme Court sides with Missouri and says that those sort of far-removed injuries are still sufficient, it could lower the bar for other states to challenge the federal government. And that's something that the Solicitor General has said could open the floodgates mitigates, in a way, to more state challenges to Biden administration policies, really any presidential policy, simply because they don't like it or disagree with it.
Consumer confidence dipped for a second straight month. It's a leading signal for the Fed as it weighs another rate hike to help tame inflation. Residents in Northern California are bracing for another round of snow. And in Michigan, tens of thousands are still without power after last week's ice storm. Storms across the country have led to more than 500 flight cancellations today. This is ABC News.
News and talk up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. There's a bill in the Wisconsin legislature for 5-year mandatory minimum sentences for felons caught with having guns illegally. Felons aren't supposed to have guns in Wisconsin, but many still do. The bill gets its first hearing today before the Assembly Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety. Governor Evers would move bar time in much of southeast Wisconsin back to 4 in the morning during the Republican National Convention next year. And not just for Milwaukee, but for 14 counties, from Madison to Sheboygan to Beloit to Fond du Lac. The RNC will be in Milwaukee from July 15th through the 18th next year. In sports, the Bucks hope to make it 15 wins in a row tonight at Brooklyn. Marquette plays at Butler. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Earl Ingram.
They can't tell you one thing that Ron Johnson has done to support them. I don't understand that. I never will understand it. I know we've got conservative listeners, but I asked them to point to one thing that Ron Johnson has done to make their lives any better, and they can't point to any of it.
Conversations that hit home every day. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in mind of Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in mind of Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere and Carol Kane in for Kristen Rice. She will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. You found this article.
I did, and I thought it was fascinating because maybe it's just because I've been so close to classic rock and rock for so long in my FM career. And I wasn't just involved in the business. I've been a fan. Like, I remember buying, I was kind of a nerdy kid. And so when I finally crossed over, I was kind of a nerdy kid. So when I crossed over, one of the first albums that I ever bought was Aerosmith's Toys in the Attic.
That's so interesting. That was one of mine first, too.
Yeah. And I defy you to find a track anywhere on that that isn't really quality stuff. But this radio station did this contest about trying to figure out who the greatest rock bands were. And I seriously, it's the top five. So there's probably a top 10 and there's probably a top 50.
Oh,
and,
sure.
You know, whatever. But this is the top five. And I know you've got some issues with some of... I do not. I'm okay.
All right.
I'm okay.
With all of the top five.
Right. I mean, I have a personal affinity for Aerosmith because I've seen them so many times and I love them, but are they like a top five for me? No. I think that the criteria for the top five is how influential they might have been.
Okay.
And so number five was Pink Floyd, and I don't have any problem with that because of the fact of they were the kings of psychedelic rock. They, I mean, when you've got symphonies around the world that are going and doing the music to Dark Side of the Moon, that's crossing over into a whole nother category.
Definitely.
You know? So, yeah, there you go.
It's just, and everyone knows this track. You can't, oh, it's right. It's just instantaneously recognizable.
That's, and I think that goes with these top five is that you know who that is for sure. So Pink Floyd came in at number five. They had huge performances, laser light shows. Their shows were, and talk about diehard fans. Floyd fans are diehard Floyd fans. And I defy, who did I say this to the other day? And I don't know why I said it, but I just said it. And he said that he found his Dark Side of the Moon album. When I opened it, I said, "What did you open it up and seeds fall off?"
Oh, yes. And sticks.
And he's like, this guy looks at me and goes, "No." And I go, "You're lying to me. You're lying to me." So then number four is Zeppelin. And when you've got that, the Robert Plant, Jimmy Page, John Paul Jones, and John Bonham, that, I mean, you know it's Robert Plant when Zeppelin comes on.
Oh, yeah.
And they had, so I don't have a problem with this either because they were in the 80s. Oh, no. What am I talking about? Like late 60s into the 70s, they were like the number one. They sold like 50 million albums. I mean, huge, huge. And Robert Plant, you know, he's been able to morph himself with Allison.
It's really interesting. Allison Krauss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just think that they, and that was another one that if people got their teeth into Led Zeppelin, they just never let go. Now, you started with Queen. Now, Queen were, I don't have a problem with this either. What's interesting is the British is kind of leading
the pack here.
Yeah, they're kind of taking
Definitely.
Over. But Queen, with their stadium shows, just so huge, and their rock ballads. And part of the story with Queen, too, was the fact that they couldn't get anybody to play those rock ballads because they were too long.
Right.
And when they finally did, it was just enormous and became just iconic. And that Wembley Stadium that was Freddie Mercury's last
right.
is probably, to me, one of his best performances ever. Ever.
You know, I was lucky enough when I was about 17, I was either a junior or senior in high school, and we saw Queen and Kiss at the old arena.
Oh, rock on.
Oh, yeah. At the old arena. So think about the crowd size at Wembley Stadium.
Yeah.
And the old arena was, what, 2,000 people?
Yeah, it was small.
So you could practically touch them.
Yeah, that would be huge.
And at the time, of course, you don't realize how momentous this is. But looking back at it, it's like, well, that was kind of cool.
I didn't see Queen. It was very interesting. My daughter, Liz, is a rocker. And so Queen came, but Paul Rogers was fronting the band at that particular time. And we were down at the Bradley Center. I love Paul Rogers. I do. I love Paul Rogers. But what they did that made it so cool was they had a hologram of Freddie Mercury.
Oh, wow.
This huge, from floor to ceiling, hologram of Freddie Mercury singing the song. But Paul Rogers was actually, like, on the stage. It was very, very cool and very, very interesting. So I can't argue with Queen either.
No, I agree.
And then you know, people are going to have a problem with this one, I'm sure. But I've seen the Rolling Stones probably 6 or 7 times. And I remember seeing the Rolling Stones at Alpine Valley. And I'm not sure what tour it was, but it was a number of years ago. And as they stepped, because they were just so iconic, too. You've got the two front men that everybody knows.
Yep.
And so we got closer to the stage. We were in that, and it started to rain. So you know what a mess Alpine can
is.
Be.
Yep.
And so all of a sudden, they came out on the stage, and these two huge inflatable women came up on the side. Yeah, I don't know. Don't ask me why.
It was the 70s. Yeah. Or was it the 80s?
Late 70s.
Late 70s.
Yeah, late 70s. So very, very interesting. Very, very cool. Once again, you hear them, you know it's the Rolling Stones. Absolutely.
However, I'm just going to interject one quick thing here. As I was setting up for the sound clips I wanted to pull for this, I didn't realize their first hit, the Rolling Stones' first hit, was in 1963.
Oh, when they were clean cut?
And it's called Come On, Take a Listen, and let me know if you still think that it sounds like the Rolling Stones that you know today.
Okay.
Everything is wrong for me and my baby body. All day long,
wow.
Couldn't get my car started later from a job.
It's kind of goofy.
It's very Beatles-esque.
Yeah.
You know, and very Herman, almost Herman Hermits.
Yeah.
Herman's Hermits kind of poppy, happy, vibey thing.
Well, and you know, yes. And that's kind of, that, you know, they were just starting to kind of like, they were the fledgling band and they were just starting to find their identity. And it wasn't until they got into that kind of like gritty, sexy kind
Arr,
of. Exactly. That's how they got to the level that they did. And then interesting, you should bring up the Beatles because the Beatles came in number one. And
I don't even think that's up for discussion.
No, I don't think so either. I because the Beatles were so influential overall to so many different artists. And you can sit there and you can name every there without a beat. John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, Ringo Starr. You know, even Pete Best. You can go back to Pete Best. But, and I've seen, I never saw the Beatles, but I did see Paul McCartney. And somebody had asked me, I thought it was an interesting question. You take everything off the table. You have one band. You're on a deserted island. It's this deserted island thing. One band, and you can only listen to their recordings or their spinoffs, if you will.
All right. Or covers.
Like, well, no, but so I said the Beatles, and I said the Beatles only because the Beatles, when they started, were not the Beatles that ended. They morphed their music through their entire career, and then you had all the solo acts. You had McCartney, you've got Ringo, you've got Harrison, you've got
McCartney.
They all had their own, so all that gets lumped in, and I would dare say you would be hard-pressed to find better songwriters than Paul McCartney and John Lennon.
By far. And as you said, too, the Beatles also started out with that Herman's Hermits kind of...
Sure.
You know, girl, boy, let's go dating, the happy poppy thing.
I saw her standing there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And developed over time as their tastes changed and they, grew a little bit older. And yeah, they were just remarkably, remarkably influential.
Right. I mean...
And Ringo's still with us. And so is Paul.
Yeah, so is Paul. And Paul, I think, somebody may correct me, but I think he's touring this summer. I think he's going out. He's isolated where he's going, you know,
sure.
So he's not going to be traveling so much. But Ringo and his All-Stars, have you ever seen them?
I bet they're great.
Oh, they're fantastic.
I bet.
And I was a huge George Harrison fan. And... not to get morbid, but my daughter and I were in New York, and we went to the Strawberry Fields, and we went to the Dakota, and this guard came out. They're very protective of the area where this all happened.
I bet.
Where he was killed, and this guard came out, and he said, "Hey, ladies," and we were like, "Hi," and he said, "You want to know where it happened?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I was working when it happened." And it was so fascinating to sit and talk to this guy. And he said, I can't let you in. But he said, right up there. And he pointed, he goes, that's where it happened.
Oh.
And it was just so interesting. And then we went over to Strawberry Fields. And it's packed all the time. people are all sitting around the seal that says Strawberry Fields, and they're playing their guitars and they're singing.
Oh, that's great.
It's really, and in that sense, it was death, as tragic as it was, very unifying to their fans, you know? So that's it. So you've got Beatles number one, then you've got the Rolling Stones, then you've got Queen, then you've got Zeppelin, and then you've got Pink Floyd rounding out the top five, according to this radio station.
We have been taking other suggestions on our, you can either call, you can always text at 844-967-2789. Some other suggestions for the greatest rock bands of all times. Pearl Jam? Is that Eddie Vedder?
Yeah. I mean, I would even, you know, if you're going to go in that genre with Pearl Jam, this is all time. Those still are kind of, they're not new, but.
Niche?
Yeah.
A little more niche?
Right. Alt-rock. Definitely alt-rock. And you've got Nirvana. That's also in there. Very, very influential. Very influential.
What about someone else suggested from the 715? The Crew, Motley Crue.
I love Motley Crue too. But you've also got to put, other band, couple of, those are like, that's the Bon Jovi, big,
the hair,
huge.
The hair boys?
Right.
The hair bands.
Yeah, the big hair bands. That's not like the greatest bands of all time, but if you have your own category of like the greatest hair bands, they'd be right in there. They would be in there. I watched, actually, it's interesting. I watched on Netflix, Tommy and Pam.
Oh.
I did. I devoted some time to that.
That you can never, ever get back.
Well, I was just curious, but I did watch. I said to my husband, I go, okay, you got to see this scene. And I pulled it up on my iPad. I played it for him when the drum kit off the floor and then went above and upside down. And I was just like, that's why the Crew is so big. Because they did outrageous things like
that. And they
that.
Just didn't care.
No, no. I sometimes think that, you know, like the Beatles were a little softer and they were kind of, you know, the humanitarians of the Crew. But I think sometimes a great rock and roll band like the Rolling Stones, they just don't give a crap, you know? It's just, that's what makes them so interesting and iconic, is that they just don't care.
And the number of hotel furniture they had to replace over the years, after years and years and years of touring.
Oh, yeah.
Talking rock bands, Jane Matinero, Carol Kane, in for Kristen Bry. One more break, and we will be back. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin.
My tears are falling like rain from the sky. Is it for her or myself that I cry? I'm a loser, and I lost someone who's near to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be.
Hey, this is Matt from Design.
Earl Ingram.
I mean, for heaven's sakes, anybody who's heard Congresswoman Bobart from Colorado and Marjorie Taylor Greene and others, you just have to ask the question, if I'm a Republican, why would I continue to support that foolishness?
Asking the tough questions, searching for the answers we're all looking for. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
Ask Oz, Wisconsin, Carol Kane, Jane Matnier, in for Kristen Bryce. She will be back tomorrow at noon. Last segment, we were talking about the best rock bands of all time. Still have a couple texts coming in at 844-967-2789. 262 says, you forgot about the Kinks.
Well, no, the Kinks are great, but I, and they have a strong fan base, but they're not, I don't think, as widely accepted as like the Beatles or the Rolling Stones.
They're, as far as being influential?
Yeah. And they certainly weren't as commercial. If
no,
you know what
that's
I mean.
For sure. And another one, another texter from the 920, The Who, Pete Townsend, Roger Daltrey,
yeah.
John Entwistle, and Keith Moon. And you're right again. Look, they're all Brits.
Every single one of them.
They're all Brits.
I know. What a way. I don't even know what we're coming up with. We're falling way behind. Way behind. Good Lord.
Now, before we wrap things up here today, we're just going to kick around a little Oscar conversation.
Yeah, because the Oscars come up on, they happen on March 12th.
And, right.
You know, love them or hate them or whatever, I just think it's kind of, I don't know. I pulled up this article that says, why your favorite movie will not win Best Picture at the Oscars. And it always is that, and you know that, what is that one? Everything, Everywhere, All at Once?
You got it.
What the hell was that? Jane, I have to be perfectly honest with you. I don't think I'm smart enough for some of these movies. I really don't. And I don't think I'm stupid. I just don't, I didn't get it. I did not get it. Did you watch it?
I did watch it. And I was with it about the first third of the way I could follow. I was following along okay.
Okay.
And then I felt things started happening so quickly. I had no idea what was going on. And then there came a point where I thought, okay, they're going to wrap it up now. And that will make sense to me. And then it went on to have another entire extra third of the film, and then by that point I was completely lost.
Yeah,
and you know, we had Matt Miller on a couple of weeks or last week, and I feel the same way as you do. I either it's my age, or I'm just not esoteric enough to understand the message.
See, I always preface with this, because I was an English literature major. So I could read anything, any symbolism. I could do all that stuff. And I was just completely gone. I didn't get it. And I don't understand why it's up for so many awards. Now, I saw Maverick. Okay. I wasn't like, you know, people were blown away by it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, the special effects, I assume, were one of the big draws for that.
Well, the dog fights in the air and things like that. And it, you know, brought about that sense of patriotism and things like that. And okay, fine. I got it. I did see Elvis. I think that kid is, he absolutely was Elvis Presley. He was great. I did see The Banshees.
The Banshees of Inisherin?
I hated that movie.
I was so upset by that film. I was so upset by that film.
With the donkey?
Yeah. Shh.
I'm not going to say
anymore. Don't spoil it.
No, I'm just going to say he had a miniature donkey
Jenny,
in this.
Jenny the donkey.
Yes. But that was another one. At the end, for me, there was no... I'm very traditional. I want a beginning, a middle, and an end. I don't think that's asking too much from my movies. And at the end of Banshees, I was like, I just spent 2 hours of my life trying to figure out why these two were where they were. And then at the end, they're just like, ah, well.
And on we go. Okay.
What? Now, so I haven't seen Tar. I haven't seen Avatar. But I hear Tar is excellent.
Yes, I have too.
The German composer.
Right.
I heard that's unbelievable. And some of the other ones I'm kind of losing as to, there's 10 of them.
All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh, I hear that's wonderful, but it's brutal.
I did watch it, and I...
There you go. That's all you need to say.
I mean, it is beautifully shot. So is Banshees. The cinematography on Banshees is no, really spectacular.
No doubt.
And the scenery in that area of Ireland where they filmed it is just gorgeous. But All Quiet on the Western Front is really well done. It's also really difficult to watch because the story is just so painful. And the brutality.
That's what I hear.
It's just really, it's hard to watch fellow humans behave in this way.
And, okay, I'm just going to say this, too, that I'm very simple. I mean, I could follow Maverick, and I'm sure I could follow Avatar, which I hear cinematography in Avatar is just spectacular.
I'm sure.
Just spectacular. But I'm not a big Avatar fan, and that's not a very...
Doesn't call you.
No.
Doesn't speak to you.
No. But now, conversely, Carol's kind of movie, I saw 80 for Brady.
And that is with?
That's with Sally Field, Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, and Rita Moreno. And Tom Brady's in it, too.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, Tom Brady's in it, too. Say what you will about Tom Brady. He produced it, whatever. It's pretty self-serving. But it was an hour and a half of delicious popcorn and not having to think. I just wanted to go and be entertained. If I have to, you know, if I pop a vein in my head because I have to think so hard about these things, I'm not going to enjoy the darn thing. I'm just not.
Well, and I think it all depends upon how you approach films too, right? If you are going to a film to learn something, you know, to be educated, you're going to select different things. If you want a popcorn movie, and that's what I tend to look for too, I'm always looking for the latest Pixar movie that makes me laugh.
Yeah, me too. I love Pixar.
To just have a place to escape a little bit.
Yeah.
So maybe we're just not the Oscar kind of crowd, Carol, that they're shooting for.
Well, they say that the voters of Oscar are looking for risk takers. That's what they're looking for. They don't want just, you know, box office biggies. They want people that take a risk. And that's why the Everything Everywhere All at Once is leading the pack.
And because, it's probably going to win.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will. And she'll probably win. The lead will probably win Best Actress, unless Tar, who's in...
Kate Blanchett.
Yeah, she's pretty strong in that, too, in that category. So we'll see. I don't know. I'll watch them.
I will, too.
Because I like the red carpet. I like pretty things. It's so ridiculous of me, but I like to look at the purses and the shoes and the jewelry and what the heck she's wearing, you know?
See, and I always go, you have that body and that much money, and that's what you picked?
Yeah, that happens too. That happens too.
Carol Kane and Jane Matineer, thank you so much for spending time with us this afternoon. Kristen Bry, we'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Dueling Tangents. Coming up next, stay right here as goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network.
The Civic Media Team.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation.
Yes.
With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which
Right.
is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the